Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Monday at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago. Danny Burke and you can join us, can tap the line, Schilling Bridge Court, can tap house, let you do that. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Numbers to get in on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio can follow. Please do follow me. Follow Danny at DannyBurke5. And always follow Hail Varsity at Hail Varsity. You can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Here's full disclosure, just why I'm giggling like a two-year-old. Do you ever have something funny happen and you're in a place, I don't know, like work, where you can't laugh? You can totally laugh here. But I'm saying you're trying to lay out this show, you're trying to get into football, we're trying to get into the AP poll, give you the show lineup, and all I have running through my head, and we'll play the full death stare, evil-voiced Nick Saban here in about 30 minutes, is what he said during his press conference, and then the Twitter handle that posted it had the funniest emoji of a disgusted-looking face. On there, and then it had an elephant blasting what an elephant does when he needs to go, okay? And it's in reference to Nick Saban taking offense to the question about, are you worried if your guys are ready or not? And he said something along the lines of, yeah, we're just going to bleep out another player. And then the look he gave the reporter was that to kill. So we'll play the full audio for you, including the uncomfortable silence of about 5 seconds following his first let loose, dear God, it's 10 games, and I'm Nick Saban, which means I have to go undefeated. It's so funny. Did I not just have tears in my eyes laughing about this here, like I just farted in church or something?
No, you were dying, man. I love it.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. How are you, Danny?
I'm good. I'm feeling better.
Good.
So,
did you get a shot?
No, I did not get a shot. Just kept popping those Mucinex pills and NyQuil and throwing those bad boys back. So
Mucinex is underrated.
Yeah, so it was good to be back. Had a pretty good weekend, not too bad. Made my way out to the casino, Council Bluffs.
See, you went
successful
to the casinos.
Trip too. Very
tell me what you did.
So I was there, and I'm just a big roulette and blackjack guy, and lately I've been a big roulette guy.
Who isn't?
Exactly. So I was playing that. I went out for a little bit. Me and a bunch of my buddies were there. So then they started losing. They moved on to blackjack. I stayed at roulette for a little bit. So then I went down. I started with like 100, went down to 40, and then I moved to the blackjack table. And, dude, this was the hottest blackjack table of all time I've ever been on. Like, all of our, like, crew was at the table. We were just winning, winning, winning. Like, in a span of a half hour.
Do you know the dealer?
I mean, we knew him pretty well after. We were good friends with him then. But I went there with 40, ended up over 300 by the end of the night, like a half an hour later at that table.
Wow.
So, yeah, pretty nice. We just couldn't lose. But then we figured we better not keep testing our luck. So we headed out, went home, went golf in 18 holes, which was miserable on Saturday because it was so freaking hot.
It was a little stuffy.
Yeah, it was good to get out there, though. And then Sunday, I saw Chris D'Elia, comedian. He was here in Lincoln. Good. I like him a lot. So pretty jam-packed weekend, man. How about you?
No,
you kept
I just,
low key, right?
Yeah, we did. I treated Junior like I'm Marv Marinovich. And just to give you a history lesson on that, because you're looking befuddled, Todd Marinovich was a quarterback at USC, a lefty, whose dad lived vicariously through his son and trained him and trained him and trained him and trained him and trained him. So where the kid was, he had cocaine before he had a McDonald's cheeseburger. Okay, he totally lost it once he got to SC. What a Rose Bowl as a freshman or a redshirt freshman. I don't know. Got drafted in the first round by the Raiders, flamed out. Now lives in his Hippieville van down by the river and fights addiction. Claims he's an artist, is an artist, whatever. ESPN did a 30 for 30 on him. Mm-hmm. But the joke of it was, it's not a joke, but like Marv Marinovich was the dad and just trained the hell out of his kid, where he's just doing lifts and running and running and lifts, and it's going to make him like, you know, the 2.0 version of the NFL quarterback. Well, long and short of it is I took Carson to the gym and we made him lift. Actually, and I asked him if he wanted to lift or swim or shoot hoops. He's like, well, I'm going to lift, Dad. So, yeah, we went to the gym for a little bit and then we hung out and just ate. It was great.
Good deal.
We lifted and ran and swam after we ate. Not a wise decision, but one we made nonetheless, and just spent time with family.
There you go.
Mama was gone all weekend working, so it's kind of cool to have dude's time. Yeah. I went golfing Saturday. Got annihilated by Iowa Russ. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I saw your scorecard. I was shooting around the same as you, and I was a little intimidated to go golfing with you.
I ended way worse than you.
Oh, geez.
I told him to no more photogs. Jay Moore is coming up. He does not suck at golf. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore going to be with us coming up here in about 15 minutes, a little less than. In 1 hour, it's Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. And then on his way escaping Iowa City, on his way back to BTN headquarters, is the coach, Jerry DiNardo. So Coach DiNardo will be with us. BTN did their tour stop on Saturday, sat down with coaches and players and coordinators, and we'll get coaches' take away on Nebraska. He's seen a lot of teams in the West. Where does Nebraska stack up? Can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-377-6800 825-5865. The Hail Varsity fan poll question. Call your shot. Who starts at quarterback for Nebraska in the season opener against Akron? Tristan Jebbia, Adrian Martinez. Can vote, can log on, hailvarsity.com. So I was checking things out, and I like to follow Derek Peterson. And I like to read Derek Peterson from hailvarsity.com and magazine. And Derek is a graduate from the University of Oklahoma. And Derek's got a dear friend who just did a story in Norman. And that story has to do with Bukie Radley Hiles. And let's start right there. And let's get you the name of of what's going on. And it's oudaily.com. It's the story of Bukie Radley Hiles. And Bukie's a guy that will make an impact. We all knew that, kind of watching his film. And the hype was real for Bukie when it came to Nebraska securing his commitment and having that commitment. And it's a bit embarrassing with the overflow and outpour of guys between 20 and 50 that tweet high schoolers. Okay, it just is. If you're one of those and you're offended, sorry. Don't tweet at kids. Secondly, says the guy who interviews them, part of my job, though. I'm going to plead the fifth on that one. So the thing that caught my eye about leadership and personality and talent and style, and, you know, I can see Mike Stoops, who, let's just be straight, Mike Stoops is a little intense, to say it nicely. I can hear and see him getting on Bukie if he makes a mistake, and Bukie just saying it's all good, coach. So this is the interesting part of many interesting parts of the story out of the OU Daily on Bukie. And maybe you've moved past this as a Nebraska fan. George Stoya III wrote this, so credit to George. And it came down to what happened with Bukie being a commit to Nebraska and then deciding to visit Oklahoma. How did that happen? Well, in the story, it comes across as, I owed a debt. Those were Bukie's words about making the trip down to Oklahoma. He wanted to visit his pal, T.J. Pledger. And Pledger's big-time back, IMG, along with Radley Hiles. And the deal was, if you come up to Lincoln with me, I'll go down to Norman with you. Well, what happened is the conversation with Lincoln Riley elicited goosebumps. Bukie said it felt right. It felt different than anywhere else I'd ever been. I knew Oklahoma was a place for me. So as of the 28th of October, he was a then silent commit to Oklahoma and then decommitted to Nebraska on Halloween. They're still screaming about that. In this story, there's a part on what Mike Riley told Buki. And I am well past kicking dirt on a former coach's grave. When it comes to Mike Riley, I have moved on. I think a lot of Nebraska fans have moved on. The current staff is being flat out honest in their assessment when it comes up about strength and conditioning in their eyes and their opinion. And it comes down to leadership style. And it comes down to self-motivation. You needed to be self-motivated under Mike Riley. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had to step in the weight room, so to speak. Now, that might be a bit of an exaggeration, but the follow-through nor consequence was as severe if you missed weights under the Mike Riley era. And it has nothing to do with the strength and conditioning staff. If it were up to them, they'd have had every dude in there. Okay? But if you get overruled by coaches or position coaches, it is what it is. Okay? So, Mike Riley told Buki this per the story in the OUDaily.com. If you were my son, I'd tell you to go to Oklahoma. Does that rub you wrong as a Nebraska fan? And I look at it two ways. The one side of the aisle is going to be like, what the hell are you doing? You're still the current coach at Nebraska, and you're 4-4 going into Wisconsin at that point. This is before 19 straight run plays and a 17-17 tie against Wisconsin. This is before it turned out to be 38-17. This is before 56-14 Ohio State. This is before 56. I'm going to say we scored 14 on Iowa. Because I, of course, never played for them. It's before Nebraska scored 14 on Iowa. This is before the roof caved in. So if you're Mike Riley, what do you do when this kid is, okay, Oklahoma felt right. I'm heading to Oklahoma. Coach, what do you got for me? And, hey, if you're my son, I'd tell you to go to Oklahoma. Mike Riley, I think, was trying to be a stand-up guy. If that's what you really feel about Oklahoma, go there. Got my support. Want the best for you. That's how you should handle it as an adult. That's how you should handle it as a coach. I also believe that Mike Riley probably communicated to Radley Hiles, you should probably give this new staff a chance. And I don't know the full details, if Riley knew he was gone after Wisconsin or if he knew he was gone after Ohio State or if it was until Bill Moose said, you're out. Mike Riley's smart. Mike Riley's been around football a long time. Mike Riley knows when it's time and when the things have turned. He knows when the milk has gotten warm. He probably knew that at 4-4, yeah, I'm going to probably have to win out. And the teams left on my schedule to win out doesn't look good. So at that point, he probably said, we'd love to have you. But if you were my son, I'd tell you to go to Oklahoma. I have no problem with that. I think that's a stand-up move. And I think Riley knew the situation. I still think Riley also would say Nebraska is a pretty special place. I don't know if that question was asked or not in this story. I can't see Riley completely conceding. But he's just being with a kid he thought was pretty special and was honest. And him and Radley Hiles had a good connection. So I'm not going to get too fired up or over reactive on it. I'm going to look at it and say, long term, you got Scott Frost here for a number of years. That's a monster upgrade. Short term, do you want Buki at starting corner this year? Yeah. Could Buki have won a starting corner job? Who knows? But that's one of the positions in question right now. Is he going to start at safety or nickel? He probably will for Oklahoma, yeah. I know they're thin and they're young back there, so it's not like he's walking into a loaded secondary. I think he's that good. I think he was ready to rock. So how do you soak this in? Maybe you've not paid two seconds of attention to it as a Nebraska fan. But the overall thing I have about the Riley era, and we covered him, and he was kind enough to come on the show, and you wish him well because of how well he treated everybody. But the whole Riley era, just when you read something in this context about, well, if you were my son, I'd tell you to go to OU. Good for him being honest with the kid. But the overall picture, when you hear things and comments mentioned by the former staff or just the culture that they're trying to reconstruct, I mean, it felt like he was trying to be the cool dad. All right? He felt like Eugene Levy in American Pie. He was Jim's dad. Where he didn't want anything to be uncomfortable, didn't want any type of drama, didn't want anything to be contentious. Let's just roll with the flow. And I don't know. There's some Nebraska fans up in arms about it. Some have moved on. Some don't care. But I don't think it's a bad thing that he was honest with the kid about, all right, go to OU. I'm done. He didn't necessarily say that, but maybe he felt it. Jay Moore's up next on Hail Varsity.
Allstate, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
15 minutes away, Nick Saban loses his mind. And 1 hour from now, it's Coach DiNardo on a bus escaping Iowa City. We welcome in Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore at JayMoore44. Bird, what'd you get for your birthday?
I got a nice little golf trip down to, I just went down to Kansas City and played at Wolf Creek in Olathe, Kansas. It's a beautiful course. It's a men's only course. A good buddy of mine is the head pro down there, and he had myself and three other pals come down. We got to play a little golf and have some good grub and a few good cold beers, and then head back here, and it's Monday, and we're working again.
Danny's wondering why you didn't invite him.
Well,
you said good.
My apologies. Danny, next time. We can go down wherever we want.
It's all good. Sounds like a plan.
Hey, I know you've been busy, and we're like 12 days away from the season. Are you pretty fired up?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's nuts to think that a week from tomorrow we'll be doing the first Big Red wrap-up show.
Yeah.
It is. It's coming up. It's snuck up. I mean, I can't believe school started, even at university level, and it's nuts. I mean, I've just been between, working and being out of town and trying to maintain a halfway decent golf game. I just kind of lose track, but it's good, man. This is my favorite time of year. The weather gets a little cooler and football started, and there's usually like something to watch on TV like every night of the week, which is really enjoyable because sometimes this time of year you're just like, man, there is absolutely nothing on. And you're all caught up on your Netflix shows and stuff like that. So now it's the time of year where you got good golf on TV. You got the Ryder Cup coming up. You got, football on damn near every day of the week. So this is a good time to be alive.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at JayMoore44 on Twitter's where you can find him, can watch him Tuesdays this fall on Big Red Wrap-Up. Jay, what are some things that is being fine-tuned right now in your estimation defensively? I mean, Coach Chenander talked today, and he's got a good feel for the first couple of rotations on the defensive line, so he feels they're pretty strong there for six. Feels good about the linebackers, corners, and secondary. I mean, I think he feels pretty good about the growth made defensively, but what's getting cleaned up between now and Akron in your estimation? What's being like kind of pressed to work on?
I think communication this time of year. I think, you can never, first and foremost, you're still working on your fundamentals from from practice one. Those will always be done and harped on every day in practice, but you always got to consistently fine-tuning your communication, hand signals, whatever it be. You know, you get in certain sets, you're in certain coverages on the back end, and you're getting certain formations to where, hey, we got to be alert for this, and we got to make sure we're checking to this. So that's just a lot of the fine-tuned details that you have to be on top of when you get this level of football. You could be, you know, if you're, you know, sometimes you have to be able to adjust on the run. You have to be able to communicate and get yourselves, everyone on the same page, and get out of certain situations, get out of certain looks, get out of certain coverages, get out of certain, you know, disguising things the right way. I think that's just, you know, that's always something this time of year you're trying to get better at. Because it's tough. You get pretty good at it in practice, and then all of a sudden you get to the game, and it usually drops off a little bit just because, you know, nothing like that first game. You learn so much after that first game. But I definitely think fine-tuning your communication skills right now, whether it's D-line, linebackers, or secondary, is what's most important right now for the defense.
Hey, Jay, the AP Top 25 College Football Preseason Rankings were released today. I want to get your take on, were there any surprises you saw? And I kind of want to focus specifically on the Big Ten, where Wisconsin is ranked fourth and Ohio State is at fifth. Do you think that's probably related more so toward the whole Urban Meyer debacle, obviously, and then just the openness of the West versus the East?
Yeah, I mean, nothing, you know, no huge surprises. Kind of with Washington being fairly high. I know Washington had a lot of success with Peterson here the last couple of years, but I just, for some reason, I always forget about Washington and kind of on the, how they've been trending upward. But, no, I mean, no huge surprises. I mean, you know, I think voters are now, you know, they're tired of getting burned on Wisconsin. I think they kind of have shown them a lot of disrespect in the past years, you know, because they've always had a new quarterback or a new coach, or they just don't have a lot of, you know, flashy players. But year in and year out, they're right there winning the West, playing, you know, for a Big Ten title, playing in a Rose Bowl, winning a Rose Bowl. And I think voters are now saying, okay, that's enough. We're not going to get tricked this time. So it'll be interesting to see how Wisconsin plays out. Ohio State's going to be interesting. Obviously, they got the talent to be there, but it's, you know, how focused are they with what's going on with Coach Meyer, and, you know, we're hearing a little bit more about the details coming out, but, you know, now it looks like this might be a couple-week suspension, who knows, but, I mean, really no major surprises. You know, Alabama's up, it's going to be one. That thing is a well-oiled machine, and Saban is crazier than ever. Getting those guys motivated and getting them ready to go. So definitely nothing major. I just hope, and it'd be nice in about 3 or 4 weeks we can talk about Nebraska being that top 25.
Jay Moore's with us, Black Shirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore at Jay Moore 44. Bird, if you had a guest house, would you let Zach Smith sleep there?
Zach Smith?
Yes, the former Ohio State wide receiver coach who likes to shop online.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Not at all. He doesn't seem like a good dude. I don't know. He definitely would not. I don't like roommates a lot. I've always liked to live by myself for the most part. But for him, no. He would not be invited.
Okay. I just had to check.
You got to fill me in. Did I miss a story about?
Yes. I won't get too graphic. I'll let you read it for your own entertainment. But let's just say he went online shopping and had things delivered to the football offices. Including, like, tabletop lighting material. You know, if you're going to film.
Sure. Like, that you say Fragile-y? You know, like Christmas Story style?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm talking like...
I don't think these things were too fragile.
No. I'm saying like cinematography, amateur cinematography.
Oh, God. Keep it classy, huh?
Right. Coach I talked to earlier today said he might be one of the top three worst human beings ever. So.
I'd put it, I mean, the more and more you hear, it's just like, and, you know, he'd get his little Twitter, you know, spiffs with people. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, come on, dude. I mean, Yeah, so, you know, when you hear all the stuff that come out, you know, about him, I mean, let's be honest, it's not a complete shocker, but no, the guy sounds like a douchebag, so he definitely would not be invited to my home.
I didn't, even if it was the guest house, that's all I was wondering. Okay, Jay, what is needed from Mick Stoltenberg this season? It sounds like he's kind of stepped his game up vocally. That's awesome. It's not real easy to do, especially with Mick's personality, it seems like. What does he need to continue to do as they kind of get closer to kickoff and throughout the year? It is a transitional season.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely one of those guys they've called on to build his leadership, hold guys accountable. I think that's first and foremost, is be one of those guys that to be one of those vocal leaders of this team and really hold the rest of the guys accountable for the standards that are trying to be built. But then his stability as a player who's played a lot, those live bullet reps that you get in front of 90,000, man, those are valuable, valuable things. And his ability to, you know, understand how to play, how to communicate with coaches on the sideline. I think that's the most important when you deal with older players in college football, when you don't have, you know, the iPads or the pictures and the binder like they do in the NFL, is the ability to communicate to the D-line coach or to the DC on the sideline. Hey, they're making this check when we get in this, or we're doing this and they're checking out of this, or I'm getting this read or this look or this block. Where, you know, we really didn't practice all week, you know, what is ability to communicate that so that you can help the coaches transition in the game. I think that's a valuable thing that people don't realize from older players. But, first and foremost, just holding people accountable, to have that stability, because he's played some really good football. Hopefully the guy can just stay healthy and continue to get better and better and better.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at JMoore44, at JMoore44 on Twitter, where you can follow him. Be sure to catch him this year on Big Red Wrap-Up every Tuesday with Kevin Kugler and Sean and the gang, and special guests each week. And Jay Bird's going to be breaking down the film and giving his analysis. Excited for that. The Hail Varsity fan poll question, Jay. And you can go vote on this, or you can answer it on live radio. Either way, the fan poll question says, call your shot. Who starts at quarterback for Nebraska in the season opener against Akron? Tristan Chebbia, Adrian Martinez, or you can say go vote, folks. Unless you got a take.
For me?
For you.
Yes, I am leaning Adrian Martinez.
Okay.
I would vote Adrian just because... You need my reasoning. I just that mobility.
Okay,
that's my reasoning. That's,
all right.
He's got that burst that we just haven't had that you need in this offense.
That's a good call, and you can go vote. I like it, Bird. We'll get caught up soon, man. Nice to talk with you. Thanks for making time, and always appreciate your insight, brother.
Yeah, you got it, fellas. Thanks, guys.
See you, bud. Take care. There he is. I didn't mean to surprise old Jay Bird with the Zach Smith story.
Caught him off guard a little bit,
Little bit, but I think it was a fair question. Would you let him stay in your guest house? If you had a guest house.
Why would he be there? Would he just be in the neighborhood and he just...
I don't know.
Jay?
I don't. That's... Yeah, I don't know why he'd wander up and say, hey, can I stay at your place? It'd be awkward. He'd probably be kind of a good time.
He'd have some stories.
Until he snuck into your room. Hey, didn't know you were married. All right, Nick Saban loses his mind next. It's Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. 25 minutes away, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Then Coach DiNardo, Big Ten Network, is on the bus on his way out of Iowa City, likely back to Chicago. I want to remind you about Madonna Proactive. That is where I took Junior yesterday to get him pumping some iron. getting some cardio going. I took my, my asthmatic self into the swimming pool, and I did laps. You can find something that you love. Maybe it's weight training. Maybe it's swimming. When it stops raining, maybe it's the resort area. Outdoor pool's phenomenal. And how about the indoor aqua track? Those are all awesome. They also offer the TRX studio, yoga studio, spinning studio, 130 classes offered each week by your friends at Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake in Lincoln. MadonnaProactive.org is where you log on, or call them. Schedule a tour, 402-420-0000, and stop by. Get signed up before August ends, $100 gift card. That'll make you smile. Basketball courts, so you can launch a three like Danny from the wing, or you can play pickleball and do some hustling that way. They have weight training, free weights upstairs, a track upstairs to walk or run, and two floors of cardio equipment. Stair stepper that may be undefeated. Elliptical, kind of a combo death trap elliptical slash bike thingy that is is intense. And then how about all of the treadmills? It works for you. Rowing machines. Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake. Get signed up before August ends. $100 gift card. And your friends at Madonna Proactive can get you into tailgate shape. All right, let's get an Urban Meyer update here shortly. And this just from Brett McMurphy. Don't know that him and Urban are going to go have margaritas anytime soon. But two sources connected to the investigation say the following. Likely, Ohio State President Michael Drake going to recommend suspension for Urban. That means I would owe Danny a steak and a beer.
Yes, sir.
Per the Columbus Dispatch, Drake could opt for the time served punishment since Meyer's been removed from the football program for more than 2 weeks. I think they happy medium this thing, and Urban's back a week before they play TCU. That's week three, right? They got TCU down in Jerry World. He'll be back to reclaim shop week two. He'll miss week one. That means I owe Danny a steak and a beer. That would make me very sad. That's kind of how it is.
I'd be smiling.
I know you would. But I would buy you the toughest, just most leathery piece of steak I could find out of protest.
Ah, baby, I'm getting a king-size prime rib.
That's not a steak. That's a prime rib. Is there a difference?
I think that's...
Steak's on the grill. A prime rib's something you you let just marinate, and it takes a while. You rotisserie the prime rib. You don't grill the prime rib. You being a Chicago guy should know that, Mr. Hot Dog Connoisseur.
I don't make my own prime rib. When I go out, though, that's what I get.
Uh-huh. And guess what? They didn't throw it. They didn't throw an ounce of that on the grill. I promise you. But
all
hey,
right, right.
Around here, I'll give Jay Bird a ring at the Downtown Misties, and we'll be fine.
Exactly.
It'll be good.
Sounds like I've had it there, too.
I know.
And prime rib's good there.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's good. So we'll get you handled. So Nick Saban had his press conference. Nick Saban was asked if he's worried. Well, here's the question. Here's the tail end of it. The gist of the question, brother, do you ever get worried about having to reload and what the repercussions are if you don't?
Does that concern you if you got another week of preseason practice? Does that concern you at this point that there's not more progress from the second and third groups?
Well, I've been concerned about this all along. I mean, so I don't even know why you would ask the question, because you all know. You think whatever happens, we just another player. I think everything's going to be perfect. All of our fans think that. You all think that. That's what you write about. That's the message that you send out there. And yeah, I worry about it all the time. I may be the only one, but I do worry about it.
So, we just bleep out another player. It has come to that. Preseason camp has gone that bad that Nick Saban is blasting his guys even before it's week two or week four. He is crushing his guys through the media and his fans. It's all you guys write about is how we're just going to be awesome again. All you fans think it's just going to be awesome again. And Saban, for lack of better things to be said, he's saying it's hard work looking this good. That's what he's trying to say. Nobody clearly, and people should not cry in their beer over 7,000 five stars. Your job is to coach them up and not screw them up. It's a luxury. Well, you know, the Rolls Royce only gets about 32 a gallon. And I'm filling that thing up all the time, and gas is just killing me. Nick, your daddy owned a gas station. Shut up. That's what's up. But I do get a kick out of it when he loses his mind. And I don't know if there's like a death straw with the Bama media pool or not. Who has to ask Nick the question he once asked so he can get pissed and yell at his team? I mean, really? Is that kind of like everyone goes into the back room, you draw a straw? Buford, it's your turn this week. You got to make Nick mad. Because like the slow-mo of the way he turned and looked at this reporter was hilarious. I mean, it is if looks could kill. Brian's with us here on Hail Varsity. Brian, go ahead.
So you're telling me Nick Saban's having problems?
I'm telling you, Nick Saban thinks he's having problems.
All I got to say is boo-hoo. Come be a Husker fan for the past 21 years.
Well, I think you're okay now, though, aren't you, Brian?
Yes, I'm okay.
No, I'm saying, like, you're good now as a Husker fan.
Oh, yeah, I'm good. I'm just going to go back and drink my Kool-Aid and mix a little vodka with it.
That's fine. Whatever you want to do with that. Just don't use Barton's, all right?
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. I just got to – it's a warning.
Okay.
I've got a family member, thank you, Brian, that still does Barton's. And it's – I'm fearful for his eyesight, to be honest. We don't have time for the next Saban, do we?
No, we'll have to come back with it.
Okay. So we'll reset it. Saban letting the world know that you all, whenever he gets all high-pitched with the you all, and he drops in the I.
It's game time.
It is, yeah. He's looking for someone named Kiffin to use the belt on. That's where he's at. No one's doing what he says. No one's listening to him. They're going to lose by 100.5. He's worried. We'll wind down hour one next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
So Danny's got some good news. We have 6 pair of UFC, I butchered that one, UFC tickets to give away, correct? This weekend, yep. In the rail yard.
That's right.
It's going to be incredible. And I want you to go. We'll tell you when to call here in the next couple of minutes to get a pair. There's no strings here. Like if you're caller 5, you get a pair. It's that easy.
You got it.
Look at you, Danny. It's Christmas.
You might. The winner might have to fight you, though. That's
no.
Like
I'm,
part
it's
of
my
it.
Wife's. It's my
down.
Wife's 40th birthday on Saturday.
The big 4-0.
So I'm cooking for all our sick Delta buddies.
Nice.
And my sick Delta buddies.
Where's my invite, man?
You want to go to a party like that? It's there.
All right.
I'm legit. I mean, I'm doing kebabs and ribs.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm stuck.
Do you feel a lot of pressure cooking all this good food for a good amount of people?
No. I mean, I'm doing it for the
confidence.
This sounds going to sound really bad, but I'm doing it for them, not her.
Fair enough.
I mean, because she'll be like, oh, that's got too much fat on it. Like
and she can get it whenever,
steak.
Too.
Right. You know.
Makes sense.
This is for everybody else.
Yeah.
We're just going to entertain. Here is Saban. Now, let's play both cuts. Do we have time for that? Yeah, allegedly. So again, Saban losing his mind on a reporter about reloading.
Does that concern you if you got another week of preseason practice? Does that concern you at this point that there's not more progress from the second and third groups?
Well, I've been concerned about this all along. I mean, so I don't even know why you would ask the question, because you all know. Whatever happens, we just another player. I think everything's going to be perfect. All of our fans think that. You all think that. That's what you write about. That's the message that you send out there. And, yeah, I worry about it all the time. I may be the only one, but I do worry about it.
Now here's Saban continuing the answer to this. There's an awkward pause before he gets into it.
So I'm very worried about it. But every team has problems. And look, how you manage problems, the discipline that you have to go about trying to help players improve and get better so they can have a role on the team, that's the most important thing we can do as coaches. All right, so we don't have an opportunity to get any more players right now, and I trust and believe in the players that we have, and we just got to get them better. I mean, they don't have a lot of experience. They're young players, and we just got to get them to understand what it takes to be able to go out there and play with consistency.
Two more.
I'd have punted on that, SID, man. Two more whatever. He's done. Because he is going to knock the Coke bottle that's propped up on his pedestal shortly and lose his mind for real. Two more? No more. Pretty good. Should we do caller five?
Let's do it.
Caller five right now, a pair of tickets to the UFC Pate in the rail yard. That'll be a good time for you. Caller five right now, the UFC showdown at PBA. Caller five. Right now, a pair of tickets for that for you this Saturday with Lincoln's ESPN. Caller 546-6377-6, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. All right, pair of UFC tickets for you for Saturday. More to come. McBride, Mr. McBride next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back. Hour two at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, and you. Hope you're doing okay. And just got confirmation, Joel Makovicka tomorrow. Excited about that. We welcome in Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. And every Monday at 5:05, we get caught up with the coach. Coach, how we doing? 12 days till kickoff. Can you stand it?
Oh, you're making me nervous.
How am I doing that?
But I'm glad you're having joy. There's one thing about him. I always thought, that he's probably the most dependable guy, football player, that I've ever been around. Whenever you need something, he got it. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, he just that kind of a player. He just forced his will on people. when he played for the Cardinals, we were down in Arizona, so we got a chance to go see those guys that played with the Cardinals at the time. So it was kind of fun watching him.
Well, it was pretty good little group down there. You had Joel for a number of years. You had Aaron Graham, right?
Yeah, we had Dishman and Vandenbosch, and it was a good group. Yeah,
that sounds like a great group. And then you had Ralph down there for a while too.
Right. Yeah, Ralph was there. In fact, I got my Super Bowl. Only Super Bowl I ever went to, Ralph got two tickets for my son David and I to go down and watch the Cardinals play when they lost to Pittsburgh on about the last play of the game. And it was a wild ending.
That was a great Super Bowl. Tough outcome for Zona. But, Coach, you have, Coach Chenander spoke to us a little bit earlier today. And I think, you know what, man, I think he's feeling pretty good. And I think this coaching staff would shoot you straight if They were concerned, not panic, so to speak, but, you know, we need to get better at this, this, and this. But really kind of the narrative out of today and leading up to today was just how well they're doing. They're still searching for a couple of spots, I think, but overall they're going to be pretty happy.
Well, you're going to find at the end of the year, you're going to talk to him again, and he said, well, we got to get a little better at this, this, and this.
Right.
That's football. You just, you know, you go, you just try to improve it every time, and, you know, that thing, nobody's ever played a perfect game, and I think, the players, you know, have to really realize that. And I think one of the things that, I was thinking, about, going into the end of the year with new kids and new players was, my thought was always the coach for depth. And I think the thing that I see them, when I listen to some of them talk, that they're not just looking at the first team. They're looking, X's and O's is important, but so is knowing your players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, knowing what they can do and knowing when they, what button you can push and knowing that kind of thing. And I think that's one of the things I think these guys really are doing a great job of. And, just by listen to what they say, and, once in a while I watch some cut-ups that they had, interviews and stuff like that. And, I don't know that you ever find a place where, with the way they coach and the way they're recruiting, that you're not going to have depth. And so my point is they realize that the guy behind the first guy better be ready to roll, and it's not because you don't want to put somebody in that isn't really prepared. And I think that's a real understanding with them. And it was always with our offense too. I mean, if you could put our second team offensive line or whatever in the game, and I don't know if you'd know any difference. Really. But the same thing was our defensive line. We could rotate guys. In fact, when we had really, really good players, we just rotate them every two series. And that was it. And they went on their own, unless I changed them for a reason or something. But, and that's when you really have confidence in your players. And that's what they're trying to, I think, get to that point where they can, the players are running the game and they're trying to get the brain stuff in on it, get them going in the right directions, not have to worry about a bunch of mistakes or stuff like that.
I don't think you can put into words enough just the depth that you coached for and you developed for, because
That's
part of the secret, isn't it? Not only the fact that you guys were better conditioned, but let's be honest, you guys had waves of people to go in, so going into the fourth quarter wasn't a big deal.
No, and when we were ahead a lot of times, and if you look at the defensive statistics, we might have been ahead by 20, 30 points at times at the end of the game, and we have guys in that were on the scout team. They didn't even practice with the offense or the defense, but the thing with defensively, as far as we were concerned, they knew our base defenses. They knew them. I mean, they didn't have to practice them. They just knew what they knew where to line up. They knew their responsibility, and they knew everything. So it wasn't an idea you're throwing some guy out that doesn't know where he's going. So you just didn't run a lot of the blitzes or things you prepared for that week. You just run your base defenses. And, and those kids just played their tails off. And, they want to play someday too. So you got a lot of effort out of them. And it was like what Lee Corso said one time. He said, whatever you do, you don't want to play at Nebraska, because they got guys on the third team that come in and they want to prove to the coaches and prove to the fans how good they are. And they're out there to do the best they can, and they do. And so they just keep rolling people at you. And that was kind of the way that I think that we've, not making it a point to anybody, but that's the way it ended up.
Charlie McBride's with us, Sail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Coach McBride, giving us a few minutes here on Monday. Coach, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on the secondary. And there's a lot of talk about culture shift, right? Instilling the right culture. And that's the earn it mentality. And that's really not been lip service with this staff. They're going to play the best dude. And it doesn't matter if they were recruited or inherited, they're going to go with the best guy. And there's a bunch of guys in the secondary that have either gotten better or are sweating for their job because of the new recruits, be it JUCOs or some of the young kids they've brought in. Part of that is about the culture change, isn't it, when it comes to a competitive, everyday type mentality?
That's right. A lot of times maybe guys are there, you know, kind of play under, they practiced under a relaxed regime that wasn't really, you know, everything was not, had to be perfect. You know, even when you were on the scout team or something like that, you just kind of were out there taking up space and stuff like that. And, you know, I think you got to play in the scout team as just like you do mentally, you know, like you do playing a game, because you're playing against the best team, best people. You're playing against the best people you're going to see, period, you know, through the whole year. And if you get that as a red shirt or a scout team guy, that helps you. But if you're not pushed and you're not, they don't understand the, you know, your culture, what you're trying to do, you know, they can create their own. I mean, and so they've done a good job, I think, of that. And, you know, it's just a matter of, now is you know, they're football players and they're not performers, let's put it that way. You know, they're not in the entertainment business as far as, you know, doing stuff that's weird. You know, you can say that's the NFL, but I think in college, I think that's the one thing I think a lot has been handled pretty good through the officiating and stuff like that, the taunting, and a lot of that stuff is, sure, they're talking to each other, that's fine, but, you know, insulting each other or getting to put their face in somebody's, you know, that stuff doesn't, it just makes your whole team look, oh, they got a bunch of guys out there, you know, they're, you know, a bunch of idiots or something like that. That reflects on everybody. And, I mean, even in pro ball, when you see some guy do something, you know, your first thing is, look at that screwball, you know. And especially from guys like me that are old school guys, you know. There wasn't any room for all that stuff. You taking your mind off the game and putting yourself in front of everybody, and you're just stepping on your teammates, really. Mm-hmm.
No, you are. Coach, I want to switch to Nick Saban for a minute. And Nick had his press conference, and Nick kind of lost his mind he was asked, are you concerned about your second and third team guys? And, yeah, it seems like I'm the only one that am. And then he said something that was kind of naughty, even for him. And it was a message to his team. I know that through the media. That said, right. he is so good at getting wound up with never stopping to smell the roses. That's why he's incredible, but also why he's so tense 12 days before kickoff. Did you ever feel that way where you were just on edge because if you don't win 11 or 12, it's not good enough? No, good for you.
I don't think I ever. I went. You know, it's a funny thing because I go. If I went back now, it's like if we lost the game, and you know, fan wise, they're all gonna say things, and the paper's gonna say stuff and everything. But I was able to dump that stuff, and Monday, forget about what the game was. Mm-hmm. Even if we won, that game's over. I can't mess with that. I got to go to the next one. And I think a lot of times the way you are is the way the players get.
Mm.
And that's why I think if I would, you know, I've coached at other schools, but Nebraska is the one place where the players played the worst, practiced the same for the worst teams as they did for the best.
Wow.
They never changed their attitudes. It was always like you're playing for the national championship practice. You know, they were always working hard, and that's what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing it because I'm not there, but that's mm-hmm. what I'm taking for granted, that's what Scott saw when he was there. That's what he knows, and I think that's a big thing with, you know, the success of any program is the fact that, you know, there it's third team, fourth team guys. You do not, you know, just have them stand back and that kind of stuff. You do as much with them in individual work and on the field that you can to make them better players too, so they feel part of the team.
Well, that's the thing, and Coach, we'll wrap with this. Just the development that's going to happen, that's already happened, that will continue to happen, that's going on with these two-station practices. I mean, no one's standing around, but that's not the norm anymore in college football. Coach Frost has everyone working, and that'll translate over those reps will translate into being ready, correct?
I promise you. I promise you, when you can play the game, when you don't have to think all the time, or oh my God, what do I do? I'm not sure about this. You're not thinking about playing. You're thinking about trying not to make a mistake. And so repetition is you know, and the funny thing is, I always did this. I teach a blocking, how to play a blocking scheme. So how you get to play a blocking scheme very good is you rep it so much it goes in, you know, it just goes in, you know, your subconscious. And I've had guys come out of a game and see it on film and say, I can't believe I did that. Mm. Well, you've been working on it in practice since you came here, you know, and you're doing it automatically. When you see it, it just goes. You don't have to sit there and think, well, I got to do this technique, and I got to sit here, I got to do this, I got to put my hand here, I got to do all that stuff. Boom, it happens. And that's the point you're trying to get with offense and defensive linemen, especially, and with dot blocking techniques of say wide receivers, which is really important, or support systems through your secondary.
Mm-hmm.
All of that, you know, is so important to you know, executing your whole team at the same time, not having half of it right and half of it wrong.
Coach, appreciate the insight on that. That'll be outstanding for Nebraska fans to hear. And there's only 8,000 folks who got in line at 4:30 a.m. for Fan Day. So
That's all.
So think about that
I'll
one.
I'll tell you what, that makes them feel good. That they're getting like that, and then the support of the team is, you know, through thick and thin, this is really important now for this program. I mean, if things don't go well at times, you know, just support them.
Mm-hmm,
and
that's really
the heart of getting better.
Coach, we'll get caught up with you next week. It'll be game week and can't wait for it. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Okay. I'm getting ready.
I know you are.
Okay, thanks for having me. Talk
Coach,
to you later.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
There he is, Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride on Hail Varsity Radio. That is pretty good, and he knows about repping it, man. You want to know about the definition of playing faster? He just told you. He's awesome. Coach DiNardo is coming up. Big Ten bus tour is out of Iowa City. And he is next with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Coach McBride, our Mondays with Charlie segment with Hail Varsity Radio. Somewhere on a bus as part of the Big Ten Network Tour, Coach Jerry DiNardo, at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Coach, how are you, sir?
Somewhere is more defined as in the bathroom on the bus. I'm just pulling into the hotel in Champaign.
Okay, so you are on your way to the Illini,
and, yeah.
and you're in the bathroom on the bus. We're just going to assume from a noise standpoint, that's why you're there.
Right, I'm not using the bathroom. I appreciate you, Claire. I am very appreciative. You telling the audience that I'm not using the bathroom. I'm sitting in the bathroom. It is the most quiet place on the bus.
It is, Coach. It is nice to be with you. You spent time in Lincoln on Saturday, and as many years you've been doing this, man, and you've been so great to us. Coming on the show and talking about what your thoughts are, I want to ask you about physicality. How does this Nebraska team look from a physicality standpoint?
You know, I think the best way to describe it, Chris, is I looked at the last 4 years of recruiting, and the average ranking was fourth in the Big Ten, 25th nationally. And for the first time, I thought that's what they looked like. Now, when Bo was there, we would walk away and would say, man, that's a talented team. But the last few years, I don't know that we felt that way. I think part of it was Coach Frost's organization, that we had a chance to really focus in on each group. They look pretty good. I don't think they're that far from the best, which is Wisconsin right now as far as talent. And so I guess the short answer is, very good.
They looked physical. The Nebraska fans are happy to hear that. And when you talk about recruiting rankings and then looking like you're supposed to from a ranking standpoint, does that just kind of come down to development? Guys are getting developed. You're seeing the guys shine. Is that what you mean by they looked like their ranking?
No, I mean just pure talent. You go to Ohio State, and their rankings have been higher than everybody else in the conference,
mm-hmm.
and they look like it. You go to Penn State, the same thing. And so those two teams kind of jump out at you. I'm just saying, when we would go the last couple of years when we went to Nebraska, it wasn't as easy to notice that they had a ranking that was fourth in the Big Ten and 25th in the country. I think because of the organization of Coach Frost, it was easier to discern that as you went group to group.
Gotcha. Coach DiNardo, let's talk about the quarterbacks and specifically kind of your impressions of this scheme with the quarterback and how Nebraska, and I saw you tweet out that Nebraska is wanting a guy that can throw first and then run. Do both guys fit that pretty well as far as what you saw?
They do. I think both guys absolutely fit what Scott wants to do. Depending on who wins the job, he may tweak his play calling, but I think both fit the offense very well. I think what we're looking at in college football is the evolution of a pass-first dual-threat quarterback. So you make a decision based on who's throwing the ball better, who can threaten the defense with the run. I think when the spread first started, it was the opposite. It was more like the wishbone from the shotgun. Who can threaten the defense first with the run and second with the pass? I think nowadays it's changed, and I think both those guys can threaten the defense with the pass first and the run second. Now, Martinez may be better in the run, but I don't think he's better enough to win the job if he can't throw the ball.
Okay. You've been an offensive coordinator. You've recruited quarterbacks. The way to go is to go find that guy that can throw it and then run it. What I mean by that, is it easier to coach a guy to run if he's got some speed and some agility? Is it easier to coach that guy to be the style of runner you want versus make a guy that's electric with his legs into a passer that he may never become?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think if you have to choose, you choose the better passer who can threaten the defense with the run as opposed to the great runner who can't threaten the defense with the pass. And Chris, I think that's the summary of the new trend, a pass-first dual-threat quarterback. That's what everybody's looking for. But both these guys fit that mold. I mean, if Martinez wins the job, maybe they'll call more runs, maybe they won't. I still think the job will be given to the passer first before the runner first.
Do you think that's just because of the – Coach Frost always talks about the quick blink, be able to process and get the ball out, or does it have something to do with the personnel around whoever's quarterback, the wideouts that are pretty special, it sounds like, for this Nebraska offense?
No, I think it's a couple things. First of all, it's recruiting. Okay, you want to be able to recruit a passer first. No quarterback wants to be an option quarterback. And the other thing is, I think a quarterback that can throw the ball and threaten the defense with the run is much more dangerous than a quarterback that can threaten the defense with the run but not the pass. So I think it's multi-layered. I think the spread is going to this pass first, dual threat quarterback, and that's what everybody's looking for.
Jared Inardo's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach is in Champaign, just left Iowa City, was in Lincoln on Saturday, at Jerry DiNardo on Twitter. Coach, what did you notice about the culture or kind of the vibes with Nebraska's defense, because that was a major area of concern last year, not only yards per carry, but just the number of points they gave up, the tackling. I mean, you did the highlights every Saturday. You know what went on.
Well, I think they'll be more fundamentally sound. I think they'll keep the ball inside and in front. They're still going to be a 30 front. It's interesting, I made this comment on air. Wisconsin stole the walk-on program at Nebraska, and it looks like Nebraska is going to be more like Wisconsin on defense than anybody else in the conference. They're going to be a three-man front, but they're always going to bring the fourth defender, whether it's an inside linebacker or an outside linebacker, into the pressure, whether it's run or pass. So, you know, Chris, it just looks like they know what they want to do, and they know what they're doing, whether it's offense or defense.
Do they have the personnel from your day glimpse to do what Wisconsin's been doing?
Well, I think they have the personnel to start doing it. I don't know. I mean, Wisconsin's replacing seven starters.
Yes.
So I just think this is the right scheme at the right time for Scott to introduce the scheme.
Coach, you've seen Wisconsin. You just left Iowa. There's Nebraska. I know Northwestern's still a stop for you. But as far as the West goes, do you have a knee-jerk pecking order right now?
I do. Let's call it the Wild Wild West, okay? I think Wisconsin's the best team personnel-wise. But I think that Nebraska and Iowa and maybe Northwestern, as we haven't been there yet, are close enough that I think it's just going to be a crazy race in the West. A year ago, we visited Wisconsin towards the end of the tour, and the three of us said, man, Wisconsin has separated itself from the rest of the conference. I don't feel that way this year. I feel like it's tighter than it was. I think Iowa, Nebraska, and maybe Northwestern are going to be in the hunt. And I think the West is headed for maybe one of the most balanced divisions in all of college football.
When you say balanced, to me, sounds like, listen, 1 through 5, 1 through 4 is pretty darn good. You could go lose to them any Saturday. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Yeah.
You know, the difference with the East is there's four big guys,
right,
and then there's three other people. In the West, there might be three or four that are going to compete for the championship, but those other three or four can win some of those games that will make a difference. And the other thing this brings me to is it's not a balanced conference, and so crossovers for the West are very significant. You take Nebraska's schedule, I've said this all summer. They play Michigan, they play Ohio State, and they play Michigan State. And so the crossover games for a Western Division team are critical in them winning the West. Until the rule is, if you go undefeated in the West, you represent an Indianapolis.
Well, the crossovers are brutal, and also even your interdivision. I mean, Wisconsin, I mean, they're at Michigan, they're at Penn State, they're at Iowa. So Wisconsin's got really three tough road games. Iowa is at Penn State, and they host Nebraska in Wisconsin. Nebraska's at Ohio State, at Michigan, at Iowa, and also at Wisconsin. So you know what Nebraska's got cut out for them. Because of scheduling and crossover, would it be out of line to say maybe Iowa takes it if they win the 29th against Wisconsin?
Well, I mean, it's certainly going to be a factor. I've said it might be a part of the tiebreak. But home and away is different, Chris, than cross-divisional. You're always going to be, you know, this is a bad place to go. This is good for us that we're playing this game here. That's a different story. Home and away is a different story than cross-divisional. And when Nebraska has cross-divisional Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, let's just say, for example, they go undefeated in the West. Mm-hmm. Not the best record in the West. Undefeated in the West, but they struggle against the Eastern opponents. If you go undefeated in the West, aren't you the best team in the West?
Yeah, you beat everybody, but you're not going to get credit for it because you're a crossover.
You're going to get credit for it, but you just might not go to Indianapolis.
Right, right. Yeah, your crossovers are brutal, and it looks like Wisconsin's crossovers are no fun on the road at Michigan, at Penn State, but they're the fourth-ranked team in the country, so they should be able to handle it. We'll see, but a lot of good college football. Coach, I will let you get out of the bathroom.
Good, because it's not the best place to be. It's a great bus, but there are better seats.
There are. Thank you for finding your way into the bathroom for sort of silence, a lot of good silence. And thanks for your time with us here on Hail Varsity, Coach. We'll get caught up again and can't wait for the season. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chris.
Take care. There he is, Coach Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network, joining us here on Hail Varsity Radio. We'll have some thoughts from Coach Chenander in a bit. And, man, he's fired up. He's in the bathroom. Good insight on Nebraska. Good insight on the dual threat quarterback. Good insight on the physicality. Wonderful thoughts on that gap in the West. And it's not that wide with Wisconsin. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Coach DiNardo. He took a seat in the bathroom and just did an interview with Hail Varsity Radio. Go see Rick. Go see your friends at Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown in Lincoln. South Point Pavilion in Lincoln around Weston Grand Island. Why go see Rick and Sauter Heyman? Well, they're the exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds in Nebraska. 100% real diamonds grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. And they have all the characteristics of earth-mined diamonds, but they are 10 to 40% less than traditional earth mine diamonds. They're eco-friendly. They're beautiful. They're some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. Go see Rick and see your friends today at Sauter Heyman and those pure-grown diamonds. All right, birthday anniversary special occasion coming up. SauterHeyman.com. 12th and O downtown in Lincoln. South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, around Weston Grand Island. Hey, if you're coming to Lincoln for the kickoff, the beginning of the Frost era, you know, it might make sense for you to stop by before you get things rocked up and just crazy with your tailgate. Go see Sauter Heyman, the 12th and O location downtown as you're getting your big red stroll on. Okay, should we get to some Chenander, or did you want to talk about Uncle Jerry first?
It's up to you, man. What are you thinking?
You know, I think Uncle Jerry was pretty good.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to go on that too. I was leaning toward that. I think the most interesting part and the one that stuck out to me the most is just how he really believes that the West is so close. And he tweeted that out earlier before he came on the show that Wisconsin doesn't separate themselves that much from Iowa and Nebraska. And personally, that surprised me a little bit, not necessarily the Iowa part, but that Nebraska's in that area too. I think a lot of people might say, what are you talking about? Like, come on. But I mean, I think it's rational to believe that, you know, Nebraska shouldn't have that close of contention. You would imagine new staff
should be
coming
that
in.
They shouldn't be this close this soon.
Right, exactly. Right. With not seeing anything.
Can I throw out, and when Coach DiNardo said that, look, they're like living up to their, you can tell that they've been the fourth best recruiting team in the Big Ten.
For sure.
Okay. And when he said and explained why that sticks out, that means you have better dudes right, than Wisconsin and Iowa, because you recruited better than Wisconsin and Iowa. What Wisconsin and Iowa have done is taken three-star, or let's just say two-star Josie Jewell, and they say, okay, you're a football player. You're going to get bigger, stronger, faster, and you're going to play a middle linebacker, and you're going to go kill people for us. Or, hey, Drew Ott, come to Iowa from Nebraska. Or McDaniel. Or, God, who's the dude? King, their corner. I mean, all these cats can play ball. Iowa just says, well, we really like you. And we have a good history of putting guys to the NFL because we practice and you'll get better. Boom. Mm-hmm. Even though there's a 50th ranked recruiting class. Or hey, J.J. Watt, why don't you walk on for us? Or, hey, Russell Wilson, he was kind of a big deal, but you get my point. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Taylor, I'm sure is a pretty good back, but he's a great back at Wisconsin. Take the average stars of the three, maybe four offensive linemen that'll be drafted in April from Wisconsin's offensive line. They're kids with talent, but they're made to be borderline great, and they're great in that system. What you're getting with Nebraska is back to what Wisconsin's blueprinted, what Iowa does. Except with Nebraska, because you've been Nebraska for a long time and somebody still remembers when you roamed and ruled the earth, you're going to be able to get high, and because Frost is pretty big time, right? And he's known by every 16 to 22-year-old about what type of offense and how killer they were at Central Florida. You're going to get the talent to get here, and you're going to get that talent to be developed. Like the guy who does it perfectly now is Nick Saban. Or the guy that used to do it perfectly was Pete Carroll. Checkbook or not. Right? That's kind of the direction you're going, where you see the talent jump off the page. They've always had the talent, but they're performing now. Does that make sense?
No, definitely. And I think, like I said,
you're going to have better talent. Like just look at the Big Ten championship game last year. How did Ohio State win? How did they survive? How did, and Coach Denner, I was asking if that interview was okay. Yes, it was. How does Ohio State survive against Wisconsin? Well, they have a couple more dudes that can make a couple more plays. And they didn't have their quarterback go schizo. Hornibrook was awful. Barrett was not. Barrett's a higher rated recruit than Hornibrook. End of discussion. Just as simple as that position. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that Wisconsin and Iowa's always developed better, and they've been tougher than you, and they've been good at those things called fundamentals. So they beat teams they're supposed to get stomped by because of the recruiting rankings. You still got to go play. And that's the difference.
Yeah.
I interrupted you. I'm so sorry about that, but you see what I'm saying is, when push comes to shove, I mean, talent's going to win out, but is talent ready to go? And Ohio State's kind of the, yes, they always are ready to go. It's going to take either an extraordinary effort by a Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. They almost got done, 23-17, 24-17. You probably remember better than I, because I don't think the Badgers may be covered, but barely. But that's how it happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to be able to be, if you do everything right, a 9, 10, 11 win football team if you're Wisconsin, and you get the occasional upset at home over a top five team. But for the most part, you're going to be a half step or tier below some of your elite, just because Penn State or Ohio State's got just sick talent. And you can do all you want against it, but ultimately that talent's going to win out, unless the talent overlooks the things that are important, like tackling and running and hitting and all that, and see Iowa City against Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. Is talent ready to go? And relating it back to Nebraska, I think that's why you really can believe now that Scott Frost 100% what he says. Year two, we're going to be ready to go. After what Jerry was just saying, that they look good right now and he thinks they can be in contention in their first year, that excites me really for next year more so, because I mean this year our schedule's kind of gonna screw us over a little bit, let's be honest. So I think I don't think it's gonna screw us over.
Is it gonna make Nebraska
not screw us over, but I think we're not gonna be a fake
6-0 tough guy? No, you'll know right away, man.
Right. No, it'll help in the long run, of course, but I think screw us over in the fact where if maybe we had a schedule as last year, 2 years ago, with this coaching staff, then I would really believe we can take that top spot in the West, even though it's the first year for Frost. But that's why I think in the second year, this year will make us tougher. We have that talent, and they'll be ready to go in that second year.
Absolutely. And I like the evolution of the offense. Get me a guy that can throw the football but can also run it, right?
Yeah, that was good stuff, too. That was good.
What we're telling you is get the podcast ready, HailVarsity.com or iTunes, for Uncle Jerry and Coach McBride and Jay Moore. We'll wind down a Monday next on Hail Varsity.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Okay, it is Better Call Saul tonight. Excited for that. Great to be back with you on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Joe Makovicka tomorrow. Mitch Sherman tomorrow. A Danny Burke sighting tomorrow on Tuesday. Danny, is there a tear that you're going to shed for not being in college today as the undergrads and the grad students cranked back up and it's hello, fall of 2018? Or are you like, no, I have moved from Natty Light to Rolling Rock. I am now a college graduate that can spend and splurge on any type of light beer I want.
Man, I tell you, when it was winding down, I was so happy to be done because I just didn't want to do any more homework. I'm sick of that. I was just like, I just want to like work and then like go home and not have to worry about doing anything else. You know, I want to be done with my stuff. And last night when me and my buddy were leaving the Crystal Lea comedy show, we were visiting our
buddy. I thought you were about to go Crystal Palace on me, but Crystal Lea, okay.
We were going back to my old apartment, which is right across from the theater. Is it the Rococo? Is that how it's pronounced?
I mean, are you by Barrymore's?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good
joint.
Okay, good
Rococo. Joint. Yeah, I've heard a lot of different ways. I don't know why. But so anyways, we lived in the apartment across there. So I had some buddies who were there. We went and stopped
and
said
hi. It's the Rococo.
Yeah, so that's what I thought.
Okay. All your Chicago buddies butchering that, too?
I don't know. No, I've always just, people have said different names for some reason. So then we go into their apartment, which is, you know, a college-oriented apartment, of course, where it's all college students living there. Me and my buddy go down because he came in from Omaha. He's leaving. I'm just going back to my apartment. We just see this whole group of girls out there ready to go out because it's syllabus week and they're going out every night. We just
look like,
at each
what
other.
This week?
Syllabus week.
Oh, yeah. So you just got to be there.
Right. They're ready to go out every night because it's syllabus week. Doesn't matter. They party every night. So we see all these girls. We're just looking at each other like, wow, that's so depressing, man. Like, he's got to go drive 45 minutes back to Omaha, get up for work, and like, you know, I'm older now. I got work today and, like, not going to class.
You guys are turning stepbrothers on me here, going to bed at 9.
We're just, like, going home. We're like, wow, that was pretty depressing seeing that we're just, like, out of college. And it just really hit us right in that moment. So,
it hit you.
Yeah.
You see all the lovelies off to O Street.
Exactly. We're like, man, that was
just
us last year.
I got to go to bed.
Exactly. But no, hey, they're all asking about you, though, man.
Oh, my. Whatever. They don't care about me. The lovelies are your roomies.
Oh, the lovelies, of
neither,
course, man.
Neither. Now, you're welcome to come to, like, the 40-year-old birthday party on Saturday. Not everyone there is going to be 40.
Me and Carson will just play some Fortnite.
Dude, he's still grounded.
Oh, is he?
He's, like, grounded till Colorado week.
Oh,
he knows it.
All right, I'll just be playing that.
But he'll try and pull the, yeah, Danny wants to hang out, and can I have my sentence lifted?
Just this one time.
He's been spending the night with his little buddies, and like when he does that, I can't forcibly stop it. If everyone bring that, you know, when we spend the night at people's house, we'd like rent movies or we go play football in the front yard.
Capture the flag, something.
Yeah, well,
wiffle ball, basketball.
Smear the next door neighbor, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And fine. Now it's everyone brings their flat screen, their Xbox, and their gaming.
That's right.
2 feet from each other like a bunch of losers. I don't get it.
It's a new age.
It's Marv Marinovich's workout every Sunday. All right, we'll be back at you tomorrow at 4. Thanks for your time. Thanks for tuning in to Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.